In the second place, Augustus retained control of the richest and the most militarily insecure provinces. The rich ones because they poured enormous tribute into Rome and or, for example, with Egypt, food, grain. Managing the food supply of Rome, managing the food supply of the population of Rome was very important to Augustus in terms of maintaining peace and maintaining order. Maintaining the wealthy provinces, of course, gave him a kind of a stranglehold on the material resources of the Roman world. And maintaining in his hands control of the most militarily threatened provinces meant that rivals to him, generals at the head of armies, could not rise up, as indeed had been the experience of the Roman world, going back at least to the time of Marius at the very end of the 2nd century BC and coming right through that very difficult 1st century. So, fundamentally, Augustus controlled the money and the army. That's the two basic things that he controlled. And then in the first place, as I mentioned, he controlled offices in the state, but he appeared to share them. Now, Augustus was also personally committed to all the traditional Roman values, to the traditional Roman morality, to traditional Roman culture. We could say that he made great show of adhering to old Roman values, of promoting the old Roman ways of doing things, of promoting traditional Roman ethics, and it is absolutely true. He made great show of this. But all of the evidence seems to suggest that he was himself genuinely and personally committed to these old Roman values. Now, it'll occur to you perhaps that he was, as a military dictator, a living contradiction of all of those old values. But people have often been able to live with these kinds of contradictory opinions in their mind all at once. Fundamentally, and if we really try to pass a judgment on Augustus, we would say this. He brought peace, security, and order after a century of chaos. If we were time travelers and we went back to 31 BC, when Octavian defeated Antony and was about to be launched on his career as sole ruler, and we said, all right, predict what's going to happen next. Most of us would predict more chaos, and that would be the sensible prediction. We'd be wrong, but that would be the sensible prediction. So Augustus' achievement in bringing order, in bringing stability to the Roman world, was a very considerable one indeed. Now, as he drew near the end of his life, Augustus faced a very interesting and a very acute problem. He was, as I've emphasized, a military dictator. He was also, as I've emphasized, a magistrate. Or he appeared to be a magistrate. He appeared to hold his power at the pleasure of the Roman public authorities, indeed at the pleasure of the Roman Senate. Reality was different, but this is how he portrayed himself. How does one transmit a regime like that? How does one hand it on? In the Republic, year after year after year, there are re-elections. There was peaceful transition of power from one year to the next, from one year to the next, over five centuries, or at least over the first four centuries of the Roman Republic. That, of course, all came unstuck in the first century BC. But how is Augustus to hand this regime on, and what kind of a regime is it? Well, that's really two separate questions, isn't it? How is he going to hand it on, and what kind of a regime is it? What kind of a regime it is, we'll trace out in the next few minutes. The question immediately before us, how is he going to hand it on? Augustus had no heir. He had never produced, he had one daughter who herself produced no children. He himself produced no sons. So finally, near the end of his life, he adopted a man by the name of Tiberius, who was the son of his second wife by her first marriage. In other words, he was looking around for someone with whom he had a plausible connection, and he named Tiberius as his heir. The remarkable thing is that when Augustus died, Tiberius succeeded him, and there was no return to civil war. There was no return to chaos. There was an orderly succession of power. That, perhaps, in retrospect, is the crowning achievement of Augustus's reign. Not only that he was able to produce, for more than 40 years, peace and order in this Roman world, but he was able to transmit it in wholly new circumstances. There had never been a transition of power in the Roman world like the one that took place in 14 AD. Now, from 14 AD until 68, Rome was ruled by members of what we call the Julio-Claudian family.